KFNC.
You have my curiosity.
Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Now you have my attention.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
removed. Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay, now, we got to quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, I mean,
I can't stay for this.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play. What a play.
I wish he would have said, I like pretty feet.
Well,
Rex is the legend. We all look up to Rex.
That was a good play of the week. Rex Ryan stopped the show. Literally stopped the show. Sam
Ponder.
Ponder couldn't take it. She walked off the set, actually. Yeah, the foot comment. He likes pretty feet.
Yeah,
we know that about him. He's not alone.
Why didn't he?
Well, Rex is.
Who else likes pretty feet?
It was Rex's wife.
I like pretty feet.
Yeah, that was my imitation of Jerry Jones. What?
No, that wasn't.
No, it
or
wasn't.
Drayton. Drayton. That was
Glory
Drayton.
Holes is your Ugh. Is your Jerry Jones.
I still wish Jerry would have never said that out loud. But do you remember where we saw the video came out? Oh, did you see that? Deadspin came out and they got rid of their editor and said, okay, we just want to go back to sports stuff. Deadspin made this grandiose move to get away from the other stuff, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't know.
TMZ-ish?
Well, Deadspin covers a lot of stuff. It's pop culture, social justice. They've turned into a very, very wide umbrella. And I guess their ownership or their CEO said, because I bring that up because the first place, it used to be everything would have, Deadspin had everything.
Yeah.
That was the place that things would pop up on that were off the grid. And now there's obviously a ton of places. But Deadspin, it felt like, was the original. I remember when you and I, at 6:10, we saw videos of Ben drinking in the basement or whatever.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger. Like, we saw stuff of Ben Roethlisberger before. He was on the radio with us before he got into his motorcycle crash the same day. Ben Roethlisberger's motorcycle crash. I can't remember why he was on with us. Promoting something? I don't even remember why we had Ben Roethlisberger. My dad hadn't started coaching at Pittsburgh then, so I have no idea. But, that's where we saw Rex
that's
Ryan.
That's right, and everybody blamed us for the motorcycle accident.
Yeah, with no real reason. But yeah. I remember that's where we saw the Rex Ryan YouTube. Like, he didn't release that for the public to see. There's videos of, oh, hello, miss. Who are you? Like, some kind of creepy role-playing thing where his wife was hanging her feet out of a car, just in a parked car, and he's like, oh, look at those things. That made it to Deadspin? And I was like, oh, Rex.
Creepy.
Rex, that's creepy. You're doing role-playing things?
Right, right.
And taping it?
Well, anyway, that was good call on the play of the week right there, the Robbins Brothers Diamond Play of the Week every Monday right here on ESPN 97.5. Boy, I'm still triggered by Longhorn Scott.
You're triggered?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of how I can't believe how hypocritical that was.
He's a college football fan. Of course he's hypocritical.
That's
kind of part of the deal.
That's unbelievable.
You ignore all the issues. Your your program has to point out the issues the other programs have.
Right.
And pretend like your issues.
Talking about your gun problem when he just got somebody. Like they just got somebody arrested.
And as I mentioned in the break and someone sent to us, does he remember Ramon's Taylor?
Yeah. Raymond's was a piece of work.
Yeah. So we all have the skeletons. I don't know. I don't even know why you go there other than you think people don't remember what happened to your program.
And your coach
is as petty as they come.
And just as bad with the referee screaming down referee. I mean, come on. Good Lord. It's unbelievable. All right. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here. Our Astros, we haven't even talked about them. So they lose five in a row.
They haven't been fun to talk about.
They get down to 6.5 games. This is almost identical. Weren't they playing the A's and they got to 5.5 after last time that they had the run?
Right.
And it got down to 5.5. This could have been 5.5. It's a huge difference being 7.5 and 5.5. What leaving there, getting swept. The A's, I'll tell you this, it seemed like, you know, there was a lot of momentum there. Now, when you look at the schedules, I think the – okay, let's take a look. Because I'm really, really horrible at looking at schedules and seeing stuff. When you take a look, the Yankees this week have the A's and the Dodgers, all right? So I know that the Astros have absolutely no chance of catching because they're like two games behind they're three games not behind now, I think, the Yankees. So they have absolutely no chance of catching them in the next month and a half. But here's the deal. The Astros play Tampa and Milwaukee. Those are the only two teams with winning records that they play left on the schedule.
Wow.
Tampa is a three-game series, and Milwaukee's two. Five games against winning teams now. So look for your American League best record to come right from right here in the city of Houston, because they're going to start to kick everybody's ass now.
Well, I got to say, though, that was disconcerting to go in and...
Well, they had a bad run, that's all. They didn't play good baseball. They in Chicago, it started where they... Errors, like simple
yeah,
plays
it was,
they were
it was
making.
Bungling. That one game, they just looked like they were a bungling
yesterday,
team.
Jose Altuve on a base hit just looked like he was kind of jogging around third.
Right.
And he gets thrown out at the plate. And it was a little bit scary because you're like, is he okay? Is this another thing? Is this really another thing that he's is his leg bothering him again? And oh, by the way, he had an 0-for-4 where in the first inning he hit a dribbler off the bat, a swing and bunt that he beat out, and they called that an error instead of a hit.
296.
Well,
he's fallen below the magic number.
Well, he will be a 300 hitter. Okay, he's got Detroit pitching this week. He will be a 300 hitter by the time Detroit leaves.
I'm hoping.
He might be a 300 hitter tonight.
I'm hoping Brantley turns into a 350 hitter after the week.
Yeah, sure.
After the week, really. Yeah.
Now, Brantley's going to start to get some love for most valuable.
You think so? I just don't think the home run numbers are
there. Oh, excuse me. I knew I'd screw this up. The A's, they've also got the A's. Got four games left with the A's. Other than the A's, they've got five games left. So nine games left against teams with winning records. Nine games left. I always screw up the schedule, looking at schedules. So, but they got Oakland here. So nine games left, and seven of them are home games against teams with winning records. That's unbelievable. So look out, Yankees. You're done. Beat it. The Astros are going to have the best record in the American League. Thank you. Good night.
I'm looking for updated MVP odds, and Jamal, I can't find them.
Oh. We got Spencer saying something. Do we have a call or no? Did he leave?
He's there. If you're talking about Jamal Charles, I think it's the same thought.
Oh, Jamal Charles. Yeah, but the problem with Jamal Charles is he was better outside of Texas than he was inside. Sed Benson, to me, was better at Texas than as a
he
pro.
Was a much better
yeah,
running
Jamal
back.
Charles had a really good senior year, but he wasn't a great running back throughout his career at Texas.
No.
He was a good one.
He was a much better running back in the NFL.
Yeah. It just wasn't used effectively.
Yeah, they had multiple guys they used,
Same
too.
Thing with Priest Holmes. Yeah. I mean, look, Sed Benson was a better college runner than Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles is a better NFL runner than
think
Sed
it's close.
Benson. Right.
Now, yeah, Jamal had a much better NFL career. Right? Beast, let's get Beast in here. What up, Beast?
What's up?
How you doing?
What's going on, bub?
How you doing?
You hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when y'all was talking about it, I said, y'all forgetting about Jamal. Came right after this.
Well, Jamal, again, said Benson was better at Texas.
And that was really what we were talking about, is the best at Texas.
Yeah, Texas. Yeah, his career was better at Texas. But Jamal probably would have been there, too, if he didn't come out early.
Well, but Jamal, they didn't use Jamal right. I mean, Jamal had this good game against Ohio State. I didn't understand. They just didn't develop Jamal Charles like they should have. Because Jamal was the better pro running back. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. Jamal Charles had a fantastic NFL career. But Sed Benson, from a college career, Sed Benson was up there with Ricky and Earl Campbell.
As far as the numbers, 4 years, Ricky.
Man, Jamal did catch 1619 rushing yards his junior year.
1600,
man.
Yeah.
As
far as the numbers, Jamal said had over 1,000 yards each year, increased every year, finished with over 1,800. Jamal was splitting time early in his career, and then his final year, he put up over 16.
Hold up, man. This is a lot closer than I thought. Based on Jamal Charles's last year, Sed Benson played four. Oh, no, never mind. Sed Benson played 4 years, but even after 3 years, Sed had 3,600 yards, and Jamal had 3,328 in 3 years. Similar, but like you said, Dell, every single season Sed Benson played was double-digit touchdowns and over 1,000 rushing. 12, 21, 19. Those are touchdown totals for Sed Benson. 64 in college to 36 for Jamal Charles.
Yeah, I know. As far as Texas running back, yeah.
And receiving yards were very similar also.
But, I mean, it wasn't even close about their pro careers.
No.
All right, because they were working in their suites a lot.
Has nothing to do with the job.
I have no idea.
He's just doing a work suites thing, but yeah. It didn't make any sense there. I got where he was going. Hey, I was really excited to meet all the different ladies from work suites who are running the different locations around the city of Houston, the Sugar Land location, the location out in Post Oak, and location out in the Woodlands. Really, all of it was great. As Holly was there, it's great to see. Work suites, and we talked a little bit about why I'm a big fan of work suites. Here's the deal. When I started my NFL scouting thing that I do, I had to have a place to work because I just don't have the attention span to be able to work from home. It's just not possible. And I know a lot of you out there are the same way. So if you were like me, you had to have your own workspace where you can have quiet and you can keep your attention and get your stuff done. That's something work suites offers you. They have micro suites, which are very small offices, or micro offices rather, that are very small offices that are there. Incredibly cost effective. You get a ton of different features that you can use. It's just smaller spaces. Maybe you want more space and you said, look, I want a window. I want a big space. There's going to be two of us, so we want two desks. Great. They can do that for you as well. They can take care of you from one up to 20 people. And as a matter of fact, I think the Woodlands location has a spot available for as many as 50 workers. And when you are, whether you are downsizing or whether you are looking to get your first office, Work Suites has a package for you that includes decisions on office furniture, whether you want it or whether you're going to bring your own. You've got your own receptionist. You've got your own mail, FedEx and UPS and all that. You've got an IT department and lightning fast Wi-Fi. It's all available for your work suite. So whether you're downsizing, whether you want to simply get a work suites office so you don't have to make the commute into Houston every single day, or whether you are looking to grab your first office as a startup, make sure that you consider my good friends over at Work Suites. Very affordable, and you can get anywhere from 4 months to 24 months, and your first 2 months are going to be absolutely free when you mention Lance Zierlein and ESPN 97.5. It's worksuites.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 822 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
Okay, so what do you think of this? A website called offthebenchbaseball.com. It's obviously just a new media site.
It's not ours. It's no. off the bench.
Yeah, it's called off the bench baseball. But they have a guy named Brian Armetta wrote an article that said the AL MVP race, the MVNT, most valuable non-Trout. Because Trout is going to win.
Yeah.
So who is the most valuable? And here is who he looks at.
DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu won.
Right.
The second guy is Alex Bregman.
Right.
Third is Rafael Devers. Fourth is Matt Chapman. And fifth is nobody. Those are the four. There's no Michael Brantley in there.
No.
Because he didn't hit the home runs. Well, I mean, it's home runs, but.
Yeah.
And the winner is, and he picked LeMahieu.
I don't get it. Did you see yesterday? His Brantley's and LeMahieu's stats are almost identical. Almost identical. And yet Brantley gets absolutely. He was 5 points lower. He has more multi-hit games. He's right there with the number of hits. Everything. They were almost identical stats. And Brantley gets no love. It's unbelievable.
He really doesn't. I don't think, my guess is he's not going to show up as well in the in some of the critical analytics categories, and sabermetric categories. Well, I'm going to check it real quick. I want to check and see what we're dealing with here, because all I know is that this guy is just putting on a show as a hitter. Every at-bat is just masterful. I just can't believe how good he's been. What an unbelievable get for, while Verlander edition got all the love, and Zach Greinke re-energized everybody. Can you believe that they went out and they lost Charlie Morton? They lost, obviously, Dallas Keuchel. We know that. They lost, you know, it's a big loss losing Marwin Gonzalez. But the addition of Michael Brantley, you know, Marwin was a nice player who struggled for a giant chunk of last year, but has a special place in our heart for what he did in the postseason, especially game two. But Michael Brantley is murdering the baseball. Mm-hmm. Michael Brantley, right now, pitchers can't fade Michael Brantley. Michael Brantley may lead the league in hitting when
Name
it's all
said. Name the number of guys that would walk into the Astros lineup.
He was 30. Did you know that?
Name the number of guys that would walk into the Astros lineup and hit third. I mean, honestly, there are a handful in the league that could come in here and hit third for the Astros.
Not high.
No. Did you see this? Aristides Aquino is catching a lot of attention. He's the right-handed Yordan. Mm-hmm. He's in Cincinnati, and he has the highest career OPS in Major League history with 50 plate appearances. Yordan is fourth right now. It goes Aquino, Will Smith, Babe Ruth, Yordan, Ted Williams, Lou Gehrig, Bo Bichette.
Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith. I don't know who Will Smith is.
He got off to a quick start.
Yeah, he got off to a great, great start. I mean, I think that's his career. And Babe Ruth was 1164. I mean, Yordan, through 50 games, was higher than Aquino is. But now Yordan's down to 1145, so that's where he is in history. But through 253 trips to the plate, Yordan owned basically one of the greatest long tears. Aquino's only been up for 17 games, so it's hard to compare the two, because Yordan is still, Alvarez has 50% hard hit rate, which is unfreaking believable. But Alvarez's soft hit rate, 50% hard hit rate, Aquino is 48.8. Alvarez's soft hit rate is 9.2%, which is much lower than Aquino's 24.4. Aquino has produced a much higher fly ball rate, 48.8, and infield rate, 20.0. Alvarez, 39.4 and 1.8, respectively. Infield fly, just 1.8% on Alvarez. That's just, it's stupid how good Yordan has been and how hard he hits the ball. Did you see the 3-0 count? He hit two homers the other day. 3-0 count. Dude just throws a fastball right over the middle, and Yordan crushed it into the upper deck.
Yordan is one of those guys who, I know he strikes out. He's not a ton of swing and miss stuff. Like, it's
He strikes out, but he walks, too.
It's because he's got an eye at the plate. Yeah. He's got plate discipline, which is so rare for a young player. And really, frankly, to just lean right into the stereotype, it's very... It's very rare for a young Latin American player to have such plate discipline on the outer portion. He does a lot of, you know, he fouls a lot of, when you go inside on him, he will go get contact. He just fouls a lot of stuff off and people get cheap strikes on him when he, I think he needs to lay off some of the inside stuff. But on the outer portion, he's got a good, like he is willing to take a strike because he knows he has some back control around the zone, and it, which is unusual for a guy who can smash like he does. But Jordan's kind of rare in that he's got an eye. And so when you make a mistake, he will ruin you to the tune of about 487.
Yeah, you don't have an on base like he has unless you have a great eye. And for his on base with his slugging is just, it's ridiculous. I mean, he's like one of the great hitters in baseball history right now. One of the great hitters in baseball history.
Relative to a sample size.
Well, I mean, at this point, only Ted Williams and Will Smith are better.
Yeah. I mean, very few people have you ever said.
I mean, Joe DiMaggio and Will Smith. That's unbelievable.
I mean, how many people are going to be able to, you say, this guy's the next Will Smith? Not many people can you say that about.
Well, right. Well, a lot of Joe people DiMaggio, don't want to say that after. Did you
Ted
see,
Williams, Will it, Smith, like, wow.
Did you see Aladdin?
No.
I don't think a lot of people are going to want to be Will Smith.
Is it out?
No, I saw the previews.
Yeah,
of it.
I saw what. Yeah,
nobody wants. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I feel like he's just doing that one for,
he
for
just
his
wants
children.
To, yeah, so he wants to be in a kids movie. He wants to hang out with Raheel.
This is exactly
what he wants to be able to hang out with Raheel. And
so this is exactly what I thought. It's the numbers do not the sabermetric numbers, the two, the win rate and the war are not going to be in Michael Brantley's favor. I'm looking it up right now with just LeMahieu, Bregman, and Brantley. The war for Bregman is 6.2, LeMahieu 5.2, and Brantley 4.6. And then the I'm trying to pull, for whatever reasons, anytime I go to football reference or baseball reference, it slows my computer way down. It has to add all these dumb ads that they have on the site. But then the ORAR, which is the offensive runs above replacement,
oh my God,
is
the WRC plus. Can we stop?
So the war number for Yuli is only 2.8.
Did you? Okay, can I tell you? We did this the other day. What WRC plus is?
Yeah, you said it's a great indicator, right?
It is an awesome. It's an unbelievable indicator. WRC, do you know what the equation is for WRC, weighted runs created? Let me tell you what it is. Here's the formula. And you tell me, okay, I want you to figure it out. Since you're a numbers guy, right?
Yeah, right. I'm a numbers guy, yeah.
Okay, so
I'm on baseball reference. I'm obviously a numbers guy.
Here's what it is. It's WRAA per PA, per plate appearance, plus league runs per plate appearance, plus league runs per plate appearance, ballpark factor times league runs per plate appearance.
Where can I find
league
this?
League WRC per plate appearance over league WRC per plate appearance, not including pitchers, times 100.
Yeah, we've done that for years. Where's the website where I can see all those finished numbers?
It's
I don't have a spreadsheet.
Weighted runs created plus. That's where it is.
That's great. Where do they have those?
On their website, on their nerd website.
Who is this?
What do you mean, who is this?
Who?
It's the nerds.
No, what's the actual name of the website? Not nerds. Just go to the nerds website.
Yes,
it's not
nerds
good enough.
Website. Go to nerdsrus.com.
It's not.
Yeah.
Tell me what it says at the top. What does it say in your URL, in your browser?
It says mwm.mlb.com/nerd and nerdier.
You're just looking at a mobile.
831.
It's so on MLB. Site.
You know, I was never with mind. Jeff Aronoff yesterday. As a matter of fact, he was out there. He's a big U of H supporter. And they had a big deal that went on all day at U of H. And I said, well, did you come here early? And he said, no, I had to work yesterday. He was working. He was working on Sunday. That's what Jeff Aronoff do. I mean, that dude is pretty damn dedicated to his trade when he's out there on Sunday making people's lives better. And that's what he does. He makes your life better because where you are living or your business, it is going to be a better place. It is going to be worth more. It will be valued at more when Jeff Aronoff is done with it. He'll put in that patio. He'll put in that outdoor kitchen. He'll put in those countertops. He'll make your place. If you're building a place, call Jeff and let him put, let him pick and put the countertops in, the vanities in. Make it look beautiful at Absolute Marble and Granite, because that's what Jeff do every day, even on Sundays. On Sundays, Jeff Aronoff's out there working. That's ridiculous. What builder or contractor or granite guy is out there working on Sunday? Jeff Aronoff, that's who. So if you're looking for the guy who is going to come and make your place a better place, more valuable place, it's Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here. Get 20% off.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, Marcus wants to talk on the radio about Texas running backs. What do you say, Marcus?
Hello?
Yeah.
No, not Texans running backs. I want to talk about the Texans.
Oh, Texans.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. Sweet. I thought you wanted to talk about Texas. I'm sick of Texas. By the way, yeah, we're all at A's all the time here. Bye. So,
A&M game.
Yeah, we're going to be at A&M. Jimbo Fisher will be on. Buzz Williams will be on. The new athletic director, Ross Bjork, will be on. So we're going to have a nice morning tomorrow at Texas A&M.
Cool. Nah, but the Texans, man, I thought they looked good. The offensive line looked really good on that first drive.
Much better. Yeah, I thought it was much better, and it was much more consistent in the first drive, and that's what you wanted to see. You just want to see him get a little better, and I think the Texans are figuring out who they can trust right now and who they can't trust. And so John and I talked earlier. We're a little interested to see if the Texans maybe make a move with Max Sharping being your full-time starter or right guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he is.
I think he is.
Yeah, he is.
Plenty of time in the pocket. I thought he looked real good. Good decision-making. Defense looked, decent. But I think the offensive line looks great, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I want to give it, they didn't look great the first game. They looked bad.
Well, let's not forget. Okay, let's not forget that Matt Khalil, who didn't play, is the starting left tackle. Let's not forget that. I am telling you right here, right now, by week 5, Matt Khalil will not be the starting left tackle.
You think it's going to be around?
I am telling you right now. No crying. There's no crying in football.
Roderick Johnson.
Maybe Roderick Johnson.
Bro, it ain't gonna be Titus. It's gonna be Roderick. Titus is gonna be a left guard.
Yep, probably. Where's Zach Fulton play? Why is Nick Martin automatically get back in the starting lineup?
So that is an interesting. I think that's an interesting question, because you might be asking who's better, Nick Martin or Max Sharping. That may be the question, because if you say Max Sharping is better than Nick Martin, there's no reason for Nick Martin to come in for Zach Fulton at center. Zach can get more push at center. They can actually move people off the ball. Bill O'Brien, when he came in, one of the first things I did was check on what kind of offensive line he wanted, because Gary Kubiak was zone scheme, and it's a move-oriented offensive line. And so what I found out was he likes to have a little bit more. I mean, everyone wants a diverse offensive line that can do a little of everything. But at the end of the day, he wants guys who can push you off the line, who can square you up and get some push and kind of, block with force, heads up. Well, that's more Zach Fulton than it is Nick Martin. Nick Martin will just kind of neutralize and stalemate. Zach Fulton can get some push. So I think that's a legitimate question. I know there's a belief the general public just defaults to Nick Martin being a rock-solid contributor. I don't know that that's an accurate narrative. And I don't think he should just be given his job back. And if you do give him his job back at center and you take Max Sharping out for Zach Fulton at right guard, I'm not sure that your offensive line got better in doing that. And maybe I would switch Sharpen over to left guard and play him ahead of Titus Howard, because number one, Titus Howard has a broken pinky, which they said was affecting some of his pass set stuff. But the second thing is, Max Sharping to me has been really good in these first two offense, as an offensive lineman, these first two games. He's an offensive tackle by trade who moved inside, so his pass protection is going to be, I think, a little better than some of the other guards you see out there. And Nick Martin, you got to decide, okay, take your two best out of Fulton and Martin and Sharping. Who are your two best? And those two play.
And by the way, you can't count on Nick Martin.
No, he's hurt all the time. Well, he's not hurt all the time, but he's had injury issues dating back to college, yeah. Actually, he has been hurt a ton.
Did he finish last year? Because that would be the first year that he finished in how long?
So we have talked about all the time with, our talk is always about Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Right? Because Will Fuller is an explosive part
Nick
of the
Martin
team.
Hadn't finished a year
he
in did. A while.
He played 16 games last year.
Yeah, but before that? Did he finish a year?
He has had his... Maybe he hasn't missed as many games as we're thinking. I'm looking at it right now. So Nick Martin has had 30 out of 48 games he's started. That is a lot of missed games. It's because he missed his entire rookie season. So that doesn't count, right? We're not counting that, are we?
No.
He's missed two games. Two games in 17. So it looks like more than it is. Two games in 17. He's played he played every game last year. So it was mainly his rookie season.
Did he play well last year?
I didn't think he had a particularly good season.
It may be that they're just, Nick Martin is just penciled in. He's the starting center and that's all there is to it. But I don't want to see Sharping out of this starting lineup. And if it means Zach Fulton goes over to right guard and Sharping comes out, I don't think that's positive. Especially a young guy that has shown the kind of flashes that Sharping has shown so far. He needs to be on the field.
Yeah.
He does.
Yep. I agree with you. It's at a point where nobody should have a free pass on that offensive line. You got to go in and hit reset on the whole thing. And, hey, whoever the best five are, the best five are. If Titus Howard's not one of the best five, then don't play him. If you want to play Nick Martin at guard, or you want to play Nick Martin at center, and you want to move Zach Fulton at one guard, because that, you know, frankly, that might be the better offensive line. Nick Martin, Max Sharping, and Zach Fulton might be the best interior. And it may not be Titus Howard. Titus Howard may not be one of the guys
who's
the five best.
Guess what?
I know the pressure's going to be to play him.
The pressure's on. The pressure is on the
player.
But
if you have to play him, you are going to potentially expose him.
I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised that if within the first half of the season, Titus Howard isn't your starting left tackle. That could well happen. All right, 843 ESPN 97.5. Catching up on breaks. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
848 ESPN 97.5. So, I don't know. So, I'm just getting away from sports for just a second. Because we had a pretty good weekend. The Astros actually won a game, which was sweet. The Texans looked pretty damn good, especially that first drive. So that was good. Nice scrimmage last night at U of H. All good. Good stuff.
Man, how about this? Energy Stadium menu this year for football. It's going to have Killen's Barbecue, which they've been there. Hugo Ortega, who is, you know, one of the most celebrated chefs.
The foodie coming out, though.
And Chris Shepherd and Original Ninfas. Like, this is a big deal at the state. Now, I got to see if it's everywhere, if it's just in your fancy pants place, John.
I have to ask you a question, a serious question. There was a house that burned down because of
this is a brisket. This is a brisket comment. I'm not going to even respond.
House burned down because of a brisket?
Respond to this lunacy.
Did you have anything to do with this?
Why would it? No. No. What type of
stupid?
It was overcooked that it actually...
So no, you know that if Lance's brisket was involved, it'd be so dry, there'd be nothing coming from it. No moisture, no nothing.
You guys. Well,
doesn't
so
that
stupid.
Start a fire?
You can't longhorn Scott me.
You think they use as brisket as firewood?
You can't longhorn Scott me.
Man, we're running out of. Oh man,
don't
we're out of firewood.
Would char grill a house?
You guys can't longhorn Scott
human,
me.
Lance pretty much lives his entire life in a human environment, so if it gets cold here like every now and again. You know what we should do for firewood? Throw in one of Lance's briskets.
You can't longhorn Scott me. Do you want me to send you a picture of my steaks?
Speaking of which, I'll be talking about it a little bit later in the show. Everybody stay tuned. Brisket U, September 7th, 11 Below Brewing. Go to at 11 Below
Brewing.
That
sounds cold.
Yes. It's a really good craft beer, I'm told. Anyway, very popular. Up to 249 and cutting. So I'm going to be there September 7th before the UTLSU game. That's the day of the UTLSU game. And that's also, isn't A&M playing Clemson out there?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's
probably. LSU. Yeah, we had a discussion about where would game day go. Yeah, I think they are going.
I right. got my.
Which one are they going to?
I'm not sure if they've announced that yet, to be honest with you. They probably have. I just don't know.
Anyway, so.
I'm going to make sure I got my press pass. But I'm going to LSU, Texas. I got to see who all LSU has. I mean, Grant Delpit, obviously. Delpit. They got their corner supposed to be really, really good.
Delpit, a top 10 pick?
He might be. Yeah. He's really good.
Safeties aren't normally.
I don't know the class well enough to know if he's there, but Delpit is highly regarded. I mean, Delpit was regarded more highly than.
And granted, Adams? No.
No, 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 no. As a prospect last year than the cornerback.
Bush?
Greedy.
More
highly regarded than Greedy. So, yeah, Delpit's going to be way up there. Delpit's going to be way up there. But I got to see the rest of the, you know, they haven't been as good on the defensive line here recently. I've been used to seeing better defensive linemen from LSU in the past, and it's been a little bit quiet for LSU defensive linemen because Arden Key took a step back, and Davin Godchild was actually overdrafted by
Arden
the Dolphins.
Arden Key was way overrated.
But he's actually been okay with the Dolphins, right, Dale?
Yeah, he's actually been pretty good, surprisingly, considering some of this talk about him coming out.
Yeah, I was not a fan, but he's actually hung in there pretty good, so we'll see. Texas has – I got to see who all Texas has. I mean, obviously, their wide receivers is going to be the top-rated prospect, I think, coming out of this year's class. So we'll see. I'm interested in going to see it. I'm doing it less for scouting purposes, and I just really want to see the game. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, it'll be
a
great game.
I think it's going to be really fun to be in the press box and having some air conditioning. That's the other thing I'm pretty excited about. You guys can stay outside and smolder. This is going to be hot. September football in Texas is not a cool – is not a comfortable thing in general.
No.
Not in this state.
It was hot out there.
Oh, at the scrimmage?
It was hot out there.
Yeah, and that was a down day.
Well,
heat-wise.
Yeah, but they do it. They've done a real nice job. They do all their practicing at night. So it got to a point where it wasn't. I mean, I do not understand how the Texans are outside practicing in this is unbelievable. I mean, as hard as they work.
Well, you know, the only reason they do it is because when there's open practices to the public. Other than that, they like to be in the bubble. But when it's open to the public, there's nothing they can do. They have to go practice outside.
Yeah. No, we're not carpooling Reagan to College Station. We're not doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry. UH scrimmage last night. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was good times had by all. So there is a – here's another story that – I just need your guys' opinion on this. A waiter near Paris, France, was shot dead by a customer who was reportedly angry because his sandwich was not prepared quickly enough. Do you feel like this is a correct response?
Someone tweeted out the perfect response. Well, you're not getting that sandwich now.
Well, maybe the sandwich came, but it took so long and then he shot him, so he might have gotten the sandwich.
Huh. Either way, you're not going to get to eat the sandwich.
Well, no, he ran. He still is. He hasn't been
caught. Did he take the sandwich with
him?
He's
still on. Yeah.
At any point, did he go?
He's on the lam. I love saying that he's on the lam.
It was a Euro sandwich that put him on the lam. As our reporter, who's a reporter in France, Pierre Lapierre, is on the scene.
Pierre Lapierre.
It was a very, very difficult thing to serve the waiters looking at him bleeding in the street as a man who killed him over a euro. As gone on the lamp.
I feel like they don't serve gyros in France.
Well, it was a pizza slash sandwich shop. So they probably had, maybe roast beef or a salami sandwich.
I was going to lower their Yelp rating if people were there. They're like, ugh, not a place to go.
I just don't think. I mean, have you been pissed off enough at a? I love those videos of drive-thrus where they're trying to pull the person out of there or throwing their shoes at them.
I had
through the drive-thru window.
I had a similar experience. Well, it could have been that experience today.
When you were a carny?
No, I pulled. Oh. No, I've had. I have stories about that too. But I pulled up into my favorite breakfast place, Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Just wanted me a spicy chicken bagel, and I'm like, "Huh, this is taking longer than normal." And they go, "Excuse me, sir. Can you pull up around front to the umbrella? Because we don't have a spicy filet ready." I was like, "What the are you doing, Chick-fil-A? What the are you doing?
What they hit
you
with?
How do you not have a filet ready?
Excuse me, what they hit you with?
Excuse me. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?"
And you're like, "Can I get the chicken faster?
Do you?
Yes.
Do you have a liberal viewpoint on alternative lifestyles, and that'll determine how fast you get your sandwich?"
They'll be like, "Send them back.
What do you want me
Where's
to
my
be?
Chicken sandwich?
Liberal or conservative?
Whatever,
on this?
Whatever I need to be to whatever get that spicy chicken bagel, just get out." So they tell
I'm
me.
Pretty sure they need.
So
you
what
to be
happened?
Conservative
you pulled around.
This one.
So I pulled up to the umbrella. So they told me to wait, and it took another 5 minutes.
It's
like,
never when you have to pull around. Whataburger does that sometimes too.
Like,
it's not a good sign.
Wait, was it warm?
It's But still, I'm like, what are you doing, Chick-fil-A? It's not what I pull up here
it's
for.
Fresh. They made it fresh. They didn't give you something that's just been made.
But how do you not have a filet ready at 6:30 or before 6:20? It wasn't like I got there at 6.
Yeah, maybe they were changing out the oil. I don't know.
No, that's trash.
You triple fried it.
I didn't know. I said a regular.
Oh, you weren't doing a reheal?
No, I didn't go well done.
Speaking of doing a reheal, you better do Ramjack before he comes in here pissed at you again.
Oh, well, let me tell you about Ramjack. Right now, I'd be pissed off at whoever did my foundation work if it wasn't Ramjack and you're having issues. And you know why? Because Ramjack, they've been in the business for 40 years. Do you think Ramjack makes a bunch of mistakes? Nope. As a matter of fact, their tagline is, "Don't do it a second, you know, you got to do it right the first time. Don't do it a second time. Do it right." Here's the exact one. "Don't do it twice. Do it right. Rely on the experts. Rely on Ramjack Foundation Repair." And that is a big deal because there are more businesses than you think who don't do the repairs right the first time. The engineer may come in and say, "Okay, piling's here, 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 and this will get it fixed." And that's great. And the engineer may be right. The problem is it's the workmanship of getting everything taken care of the right way so that you get the results in your home. And so Ramjack has to do follow-up repairs for some companies out there, especially the ones whose lifetime transferable warranties, quote-unquote, don't hold up because they've changed technology or they're not in business anymore. Ramjack, 40 years in business. 100% American-made steel, patented technology. They get it done right the first time, and they are going to be out there to not only observe as they have their on-site evaluations to make sure they find out exactly what's going on, but they will get it right the very first time so that you don't see those issues crop back up. And if something happens and they've got to come back out there, or you're selling your home and the other buyer wants that peace of mind that they've got a lifetime transferable warranty, like I said, 40 years in the business, their name means something. It means a lot here in the city of Houston and around the nation. Ramjack. Go to ramjack.com, find out about their technology, and get a quote, a very reasonably priced to fix your foundation issues. 713-599-0102. Ramjack.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.